Good morning. It's Tuesday, 26th of January. Our New Testament reading today is Matthew 28. Once again, I'm reading from Brother Melva Purkis. I read. Guilty consciences drove on the priests and rulers to one more act. When the earth trembled under their feet, and all nature rebelled against their wickedness, fear crept into their souls. They remembered his claim to be the Son of God. They knew that but for their lies, their threats and their hatred, that still form would not have hung upon the cross. They also recalled his prophecy of the third day. Although it was now the Sabbath, the chief priests joined with the Pharisees in seeking yet another audience with Pilate. By now the procurator was in a mood of cold anger. He knew how, against all his better instincts, he had been reduced to pitiable weakness by these malevolent schemers. Claudia Procula had been hard to convince that he had had no alternative but to ignore her urgent message. It had been some little consolation to be able to refuse their request to alter the inscription on the cross. Here was another opportunity to assert himself. "Sir," they said, "we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So that the last error," they concluded, with the utmost significance, "shall be worse than the first." "Ye have a watch," Pilate told them harshly. "Go your way, make it as sure as you can." But there was little danger of the disciples making any attempt to revive Christianity by any spectacular or desperate effort. They were too despondent and full of grief. Looking back upon the event, we are sustained in the tragedy of Christ's death by the certain knowledge of his resurrection. But the disciples were not looking backwards, as we are. They should have been ready for it, but they were not. There was indeed a faint glimmer of hope, but it was so uncertain that when it was given every reason to burst into flame by a message from the garden tomb, it did not stir. John tells us that as yet they knew not that he must rise again from the dead. If there was little faith, there was much love. So many Marys linger in the garden. Mary Magdalene was always a little in front. She would never forget. Her hands were aching to minister to her Lord. She had spent a busy Sabbath preparing sweet spices for anointing him. She rose in the darkness of the morning, met Mary, the mother of James, Salome, and probably also Joanna, and together they made their way through the deserted streets of Jerusalem and, passing under the arched gate, reached the garden as the sun was beginning to rise over the eastern hills. The problem, they discussed, was the weight of the stone that Mary had watched being rolled into place on the Friday evening. Their united strength, impelled by so much love, would not nearly suffice. In the garden, Mary Magdalene seems to have run on ahead, urged by the desire to reach her Lord. She noticed at once that the stone was rolled away. Looking quickly inside, she found the tomb was empty. Without pausing for any explanation, she ran back to find Peter and John. Breathlessly, she told them the news. They had taken the Lord from the sepulchre. Meanwhile, the other women had hurried on to the tomb with fast beating hearts, to be met by an angel who calmed them with words of comfort and joy. "Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus that was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." The tomb was empty. The Lord had risen indeed. Thank you for listening.